Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, don't you know God is good? I said, God is good. Hallelujah. He's so good. I'm so excited for what he's doing. You know, my wife and I, we get down here as often as we can. We try to get around the town and meet people and mingle. And we've been meeting lots of people, you know, at different times. And it's just so exciting to meet new people. But it's even more exciting to know that God has a purpose and a plan. You know, now I can't speak for all the other churches here. I'm not saying that all the other churches are bad in Cory, because I don't believe that that's the case. In fact, I've met people from other churches here in town, and I know that they're wonderful people, you know, but that doesn't stop the fact that God has a plan and a purpose for us being here, you know. And the Lord gave me very specific direction on coming to Cory and starting a church here, and of course we're excited for that. We're excited for what we would do, and you know, it's interesting, because as my wife noted, well, first of all, we're in a hotel, which is always an interesting thing to people. Why would you have church in a hotel? But then even beyond that, we have it on Saturday nights, which is also another interesting thing, because, hey, doesn't church have to happen on Sunday? Well, don't you know that church doesn't have to happen on Sunday? That's traditional, and there's nothing wrong with that. We love having church on Sunday, but unfortunately, we can't be in two places at once, and it's just as good to be there on Saturday night. And plus, you know, this does give an opportunity for people, if there is people in other churches that want to come out and just get an extra dose of God in their week, well, praise the Lord for it. You know, the hungry shall be filled, the thirsty shall be watered. Praise God. So as we're here fulfilling the plan of God for us and for those who are connected to us, we're going to see great things happen here. Amen. We're going to see great things happen in the lives of the people, and I'm just excited for that. You know, and one thing that, as pastoring, that I love is the effect that having a true pastor in your life does for someone. Now, I know this because I was someone who was trained, who was raised up and saved through the people that the Lord had placed in my life to lead me and guide me into the things. Now, of course, he's given me the Holy Spirit. We don't give glory to man. We never do that. But we do know that it's very scriptural that God gave us pastors, and he gave us pastors for a reason. In fact, the first thing that Jesus did was he gave us pastors. And so we need to be excited in the other ministry gifts as well. And they're important as well. They work together, you know, but the pastor is the one that's with us all the time. So I thank God for that. I thank God for that opportunity to see people's lives change. Amen. Because where the word of God is preached and where the power of God is, there will be change. I said there will be change. We're not going to be the first United Frozen Chosen. Hallelujah. We're not going to be sad. We're not going to be depressed all our lives. We're not going to be waiting for the next great thing, bad thing to happen in our life. We know that God has wanted to bring us into good. Now, that doesn't mean everything's going to always be peachy and shiny, and that life is going to be flowers, and sometimes there's going to be poison ivy. Amen. Sometimes there's going to be things that work against us, but praise God for what he's doing. Praise God for his power and his strength, because it always carries us through. He said that he'll never let us be tempted beyond what we are capable. It doesn't say he tempts. It says he won't let us be tempted beyond what we're capable. And with it, he will always make sure that we have a way of escape. So he never allows the devil to have reign over us. Amen. And as we're going to see here tonight, now I got a message to preach, but all that's good. And free, no charge. But, you know, I got a message here to preach tonight, and that message is calling Draw Near to God. You know, it's really important for us to understand that God has good things for us, that he has things for us to walk out, but it doesn't happen unless we initiate something. And we can start with salvation. Salvation is the most simple of all the gifts that we can look at, and the greatest gift that we can look at is salvation. Aren't you happy for salvation? Isn't it great that we don't have to go to hell? Praise the Lord. Isn't it great that Jesus paid away? But you know, even salvation, even though God desires, the Bible says that it is God's will that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. That's God's will and his desire. But we know this for a fact that not all do. In fact, we know most don't. And why don't most do it? It's because they never make the decision. They never make the connection. And see, everything with God is about what we decide to do. Now, God has already done everything he's going to do. God isn't going to recreate. He's not going to make money appear in your lap. He isn't going to recreate the human body. He isn't going to recreate the earth. He already created it to work and operate a certain way. And we were given dominion over it. The devil took the dominion. We actually, man handed it over. But God, Jesus brought us back to that. Amen. But it's funny because even though Jesus brought us back to having that power, that dominion, he said, I'll give you authority over all the power of the enemy. Praise the Lord. And even though he gave us that, you know how many Christians actually use that? It's very few. And that's why Christians are defeated and broken. It's because they don't use the dominion that God gave them. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. You know, I've got so many things stirring in me right now. I got such a mess. This is just an introduction, but God, you know, it's good. You know, I say this all the time. It's a sign and wonder because I was a person who was horrified of public speaking. And yet when I stand in the pulpit, when I stand under that anointing, I can just go and preach the word. Because God is good. So we're talking about drawing near to God. And I want to share something with you as we get into this. Yesterday, as I was seeking the Lord, you know, I preached a similar message last night in Mayville. But yesterday, as I was seeking the Lord, he spoke to me. I heard some things in my spirit that really encouraged me. And I wanted to share them with you because I think it's important. And this is exactly what I heard as I was driving. It's easy in life to focus on the abundance of lack. Praise the Lord. It's easy in life to focus on the abundance of lack. Why? We see lack all over the place, don't we? Or the appearance of it. If there's anything the Word of God teaches us, is that we can do a lot with a faithful little bit.
That's right.
Praise the Lord. Be encouraged if you see a little or just a little, because it only takes a little to move a mountain. Hallelujah. And that's something that's so important for a Christian to understand. You know, we can look around, we can say, well, we only have a small church, or we only have a few people showing up to this event or that event, or we only have a little bit of money coming in, and there's so much to do. But praise God, Jesus took a little. See, somebody brought faithfully, they brought fish and bread. There wasn't near enough to feed barely even a family of people, and yet he multiplied it and fed, actually, if you do the research, it was probably well over 10,000 people. Praise God. I know the Bible says 5,000, and I'm not saying that's wrong, but it said 5,000 men and the women and children besides. Amen. So we know that there was much more there. Even if there was one person more, that was more than 5,000, and then 5,000 is a lot. So praise God. But, you know, Jesus, God multiplied that. And why did he multiply that? How? Because God's a God of multiplication. God is a God of adding too. He isn't a God of lack. In fact, Jesus, one of the things the Bible, I was in scripture today reading so much about Jesus and stuff like that. One of the things it says is that he did all things well, praise the Lord. First of all, we know that. But it also says in there, it says for us to walk just as he walked.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. The Bible tells us to walk just as Jesus walked. How did Jesus walk? Did Jesus walk scared?
No.
Did Jesus walk talking about how big the devil was?
No.
He never mentioned how big the devil was.
Never.
He never. You never see Jesus talking about how great the trial was on him. You never see that. You always see Jesus conquering through his words, through the ability that the Lord placed in him. And now we have that same power residing in us. Aren't you glad? But I want to start in this scripture, John 6:44. Just go ahead and look at it up here. I'm going to have you turn to scripture in a minute. But John 6:44 says, no one can come to me, and this is Jesus speaking, unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. This, in context, this is referring to the first coming to Jesus. Amen? The first time that one comes to Jesus, that when they receive salvation, nobody can do that unless the Father draws them in. And that's why we need to pray that the Father draws people in, right? But see, this is not talking about the rest of our lives. We have to understand, and we're going to see this here in Scripture, but the rest of our lives is about us coming to God. See, it's about us choosing to come to God. Even though that the Father initially draws us in, we must decide to continually go before God.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. When we talk about things like church attendance, you'll hear me mention it many more times. So if it bothers you now, just either get over it or get upset with me, whatever. But the fact of the matter is, this is an important thing. Why? Because God talked a lot about that. He gave us the house of God for a reason. He gave us pastors for a reason. He gave us the ministry gifts for a reason. He told us not to stop congregating for a reason.
Yeah.
Because the power, he knew that's where the power was going to reside. He knew that the ability of God was going to be there. And besides, how can you love on someone if you never go around them? Yeah. You know, we were at a funeral today, and we got to talking, my wife and I, afterwards, and we thought how sad it is when so many families where the kids grow up and they just move away. How sad is that? And they're not close, and you never see them again. It was such a sad thing, because I saw my nieces and nephews and stuff like that, you know. And it just hurt me. I just love the fact that my family serves God together. You know, I just love the fact that we've been blessed with that. And of course, you know, there's a lot in teaching them that. But you know, the same thing is with God's people. He doesn't like his people being scattered. Jesus said that when the people without the shepherd, the people were scattered and faint. But see, there was something about bringing them together. But see, it's a choice. God never made us come to church. He doesn't make us come to him. He doesn't make us do anything. Right. This is what so many people don't realize, is God doesn't make things go a certain way. He set things up, and they're supposed to operate on their own accord. They're supposed to, God isn't going to invade our space unless we want him, unless we draw him, unless we pull him in. Yes. Amen? Unless we desire him. I love in one scripture, Jesus is called the desire of nations. Yeah. See, when you desire something, you're not okay with it being over there. You know, you want it right next to you. Right. When you desire a relationship, you want it right there. Yeah. When you desire going to church, it's not okay to just have church on Sunday. You want it more days in the week. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And that's why some of us go to church many times a week. Why? Because there's services, and we can go and get fed and praise the Lord for it. You know, when you desire something, you don't just put it out there, but you go after it. Amen. I remember when I first met my wife, when I first saw her, she was my waitress, and I walked into that restaurant, and I sat down, and I was like, hey, glory. That's what I felt in my heart. And I didn't say that, but that's exactly how I felt. Well, I started desiring her. Amen. I desired to want to be around her. So what did I do? I started going longer and sitting longer. Praise the Lord. I went more times and I sat longer. And I always made sure that she was my waitress. Praise the Lord. And I tipped her good. Hallelujah. I started acting a certain way. I wanted to be around her more. Because I desired to be around her. Well, the same thing was with God. We have to stir that up within ourselves, and we have to want to be with God. Hallelujah. We have to want to be with his people. We have to want to be where his power flows. We have to want his power to flow. Yes. See, that's the problem with today's society and churches. So many churches have no idea that there's even power that's tangible here on the earth. But why would God always leave his power here except just in our time? We were the ones that he decided, you know what? I don't want to leave them with power. Come on. Why would he have sent part of him to live on the inside of us and say that you would receive power when he does, if God didn't intend for us to have that power? See, God has intended to have that power, but that power wasn't going to come just automatically. We had to do something to bring it in. We have to receive that power. Amen. Praise God. Coming to God is not a one-time event. You don't just get saved and that's it. Coming to God is a continual thing. You think about a relationship with your spouse. How much would you love your spouse if they just, you know, they just wanted to see you once a month and you never saw them the rest of the time? Or how about a child that just didn't care to ever be around you? You went years and years and years and they never even came home. See, that's the same thing. Or how about this? How about when the only time they came to you is when they needed something? The only time they came to you is when they were in lack. The only time they thought about you is when they didn't have anything else and they needed what you had. And see, but that's so often how Christians treat God. They put God out there like, well, you know, I'll be a Christian and I'll just go live my life and I'll do whatever I'm going to do. And then maybe I'll give God some time here. We've talked to Christians that have a hard time going to church. And that bothers me. It bothers me because God is going to meet us. He has set up divine appointments for each one of us. Now listen, if you don't have a church, you know, that's one thing. But God will always lead you to a church if you seek him, if you're hungry. Because God always takes us into good things. But see, there's Christians that just don't even think about it. I mean, I know people who are believers that don't even think about God on a daily basis. They'll come to God when they need something. They'll pray to God when they're sick or something like that. But they don't really want God. Now turn with me to Hebrews 11:6. See, this is very important. Praise the Lord. I don't know what time I started, but you're going to maybe you can give me an idea so I know. I don't want to go too long here. You know what I mean? Praise God. There's a lot in the introduction, isn't there? Hebrews 11:6. Praise God. But without faith, It is impossible to please him. This is a scripture that you're going to hear from me many, many times. Yes. I'm just telling you right now, but I'm going to also tell you this is kind of a different take on what I've come at it, how I've come at it. Praise the Lord. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Well, here's the first thing I want to know, want you to recognize here. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith is not that I'm a Baptist, I'm a Methodist, I'm a Pentecostal, I'm a Catholic. That is not what faith is. Faith is what you believe of God, what you trust in. Faith in God is trusting him, putting it all on him, saying, you know what, I believe him for everything. I believe his word is truth, and that's what I'm standing with. No matter what the circumstances look like, no matter what happens around me, I believe the word of God because that is true. That's your faith. That's your faith. If you say that God is the God who gives and takes away, then that's where your faith is. Wow. Your faith is not in the God of the Bible. Well, not the big G of the Bible, but maybe the little G. You know, that the Bible does call Satan the God of this world. He's the one who gives and takes away. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Well, that's good. Yeah. Free, no charge. Hallelujah. So without faith, but so many Christians live without faith. Mm-hmm. You say, how can that be? Pastor Jeff, how can a Christian live without faith? I see it all the time. I see Christians who have enough faith for salvation. They have enough faith to believe that God will save them in the end, maybe. And sometimes I say that because sometimes I've heard that even. But they don't have enough faith to believe God for anything else. And yet he tells us that all things are received the same way. Through faith and patience, we inherit the promises of God. Yes. Faith and patience. Faith is not saying it ain't going to happen. Right. Your faith shows up in what you say. Amen? Yeah. So without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. Now, some people take this out of context because they think that he is means that he exists. But that's not what it's talking about here, because first of all, you wouldn't be coming to God unless, if we just look at common sense, you wouldn't be coming to God if you didn't believe he existed, right? If you didn't know there was church here tonight, you wouldn't be showing up looking for church. Right. The same thing, if you don't believe God exists, then you're never going to come to him. Yeah. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. Now, when we do some research here, we also see other scripture that says things like that even the demons believe that God exists, but we know it doesn't do them any good. But we understand that what this means, and we hearken this back to Exodus, in Exodus where it says, I am the I am. God is who he is. He is the God that he is, the God that does all the things that he does. All through the Old Testament, God told us who he was. He had different names for his different personalities or his different character attributes, if you want to say it that way. We had Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. Jehovah Jireh, the God of provider. God, my provider. Thank you. Jehovah Rapha, that's another one. That's God, my healer. Well, don't feel bad. I didn't know it either. Praise the Lord. Well, we got it in there, you know. But see, God had all these different names for who he was. And that's what people, see, that's what God is. That's what it's talking about. You can believe that God is, that he exists, and that doesn't do you a lick of good. But just believing God, you know, I have people say, I say to people, someone died, and I say, well, so was so-and-so saved? And they say, well, they believed in God. Well, okay, so do the demons. That doesn't mean anything. Yeah. Have they received Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior? Did they live a life after God? Right. Praise the Lord. All this stuff matters, see? But that's not even what we're preaching on tonight. Praise God, it's good. And that he is a rewarder. Look at this. He is a rewarder. Yeah. What's a reward? Is a reward something that you're not looking for? No. If you're running a race, and you get the first place prize, whatever it is, a trophy or a ribbon or something like that, do you look at this and say, "Well, I didn't really want this. Why would you give me the gold medal?" You never see an Olympian stand up there that gets a gold medal saying, "Well, I don't want the gold medal. I didn't run this for the gold medal. I wanted the silver medal." You don't see that. It doesn't make sense. See, a reward is something that you're after. It's something that you want. He is a rewarder of those who what? Diligently seek him. Praise the Lord. They diligently seek him. You know what it means to diligently seek? Well, I looked these words up in the Bible. So in case you didn't know, I brought the knowledge with me. Praise the Lord. To seek out for oneself to beg, crave, to demand back, to require. I love that, to require. I need God. I need God so much I'm not okay with just having a little bit of God. I want a lot of God. I'm not okay with just having church as usual. I come hungry for more each time. I'm expecting God every time I come through those doors to do something bigger than what he's done before. And guess what he does? Something bigger than he always did before. Why? Because God loves it when we stand in faith. This is what the scripture is talking. This is, and we know this at Hebrews 11. If you don't know, Hebrews 11 is a great faith chapter. Get in there and read about what faith looks like. And you'll see that what I'm saying is the absolute truth. Yeah. Because people believe God when and it goes through one account after another of someone who believed God when everything around them, when the entire world said, no, this can't happen. Praise the Lord. They believed him anyways. And then they saw the promise. But it didn't happen overnight. And see, this is where Christians a lot of times lose it in this country, because we're used to that Burger King mentality. You know, you drive through and have it your way. Praise the Lord. If you don't want pickles on it, then you don't have to have pickles. If you don't want ketchup, then you don't have to have ketchup. Praise the Lord. But see, well, that's not the way that God works. God is a faith and patience God. Yeah. Faith takes time, right? It takes time to prove it. You can say, well, I believe you, God. But then a week later, if you're giving up on it, then you didn't really believe God. Yeah. Believing God means you believe God to the end, no matter what. Yeah. I'm going to tell you right now, I'll go to the grave believing in healing. Do you understand what I'm saying? There is nothing that I know that Jesus has provided it. I know, and I'm going to believe it. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm blindly. Listen, there are things that happen in life, and sometimes, and there's always reasons for it. When it doesn't happen the way the Bible says, there's always a reason for it, and we don't always know that here. But I do know this, and I know that his ultimate desire is not for us to be broken, defeated, sick, without ability. Praise the Lord. He wants us to be able to do these things. You don't need to continually receive salvation, but you do need to continually walk in it. This is what people miss so much. And that word, when I say walk in it, you could also say work it. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And we're going to see a scripture here in a minute that talks exactly about what I'm talking about. Philippians 2:12. Praise the Lord. You don't need to continually receive salvation, but you need to continually walk in it. Salvation, walking out our salvation, is a choice. It is a choice. It is a choice. Coming to God is a choice. Doing the work of God, it is a choice. Doing what God wants us to do, it is a choice. Being in God's blessing, it is a choice. All things. All things. God, he said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's always done things the same way. He will always do them the same way. He is not a mysterious God. I hate it when people say that. God works in mysterious ways. No, he doesn't. He gives us a whole book of how he works. God does never work in mysterious ways. He said, this is how I work. This is how it operates. How many times in scripture do you see Jesus say something like, the kingdom of heaven is like? Yeah. The kingdom, what is that telling us? This is how it is. This is how it works. I'm telling you this so you know when you go and you see something, you say, hey, that's how the kingdom of heaven works. Yeah, praise the Lord. Yeah, amen. Hallelujah. It's good. God is so good. He put it there for us. But see, what people do is that people don't study to show themselves approved, as it tells us in 1 Timothy. Am I right? Or somewhere around there. 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy. It's in one of them. But it says, study to show yourself approved. Praise the Lord. Study to show yourself approved. That means to look into the Word and find out what the Word says so you know when you can answer those questions. Amen? Yeah. You found Philippians 2:12. Yeah. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work, 2 Timothy, thank you, she found it. 2 Timothy what? 2 Timothy 2:15, just write that down, look at it later. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trouble. You could say this, walk out your own salvation. Walk in your own salvation. Work it out. Do what it is. What does it mean to work it out? Well, we're going to find out here. Praise the Lord. With fear and trembling. That word fear is not the same fear that we always think of as fear. Because the Bible also tells us that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. God would not say, the Bible would not tell us one time that he hasn't given us a spirit of fear, and then he would also command us to work it out with fear. This is a different kind of fear. This kind of fear is talking about a reverential fear, like you would have for somebody of high authority or high respect, like you would have for your father. You wouldn't want to displease your father. If you had a good father, you know what I'm talking about. You want to serve. You know, you wouldn't want to displease your pastor. You wouldn't want to displease your boss. You wouldn't want to displease your spouse. That's the same kind of fear that this is talking about. We have to realize that there is something very precious about what God gave us in salvation, and we are the ones who are to work it out and to walk it out, to talk it out, to do what it's calling us to do. See, salvation, you weren't just saved just so you could go to heaven. You were saved, the Bible tells us, for good works. But see, we have to come to God. We have to choose to come to God and do these things. We have to choose to come to God in faith and say, Lord, I will do what you say. I know that I can do what you say because you've given me the ability. Listen, if God has called you to it, he's already equipped you for it. One of the accounts, and I share this so often in my churches, is, and I just love it, but if you ever want to know what God has for you, just go back to the beginning, the book of beginnings, and you will see exactly what God did. What he did for mankind is before he put man on the earth, he provided every single thing man would ever want, desire, or need. He put it there, glory to God, for them before he even set them there. And then he put them there and said, go have at it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Why? Because our God is a good God. He's a loving God. He's a good father. He is not going to leave us. A good father doesn't leave. The Bible says that a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Why? Because a good man provides for those that he won't ever even meet, maybe. See, that's the way God is. God wants to provide for us. The Bible wouldn't say a good man would do this and that he wouldn't do it himself. Why? Because God is not he's not a hypocrite. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. But you have to work it out. You work it out. You work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Yeah. You work it out. You have to come to God. You have to decide that you're going to get there. See, it's important to know that we have to draw near to God if we want his power. God, why do so many Christians live without his power? Because God isn't raining out. If there's anything that the last 2,000 years has proven to us, it's this. That God doesn't just dump it on anybody. Right. He doesn't just dump it on anybody. He isn't throwing his power out there for anybody to pick up. In fact, we know this. The most precious things that God has given us, that he's made you have to kind of work for it. Yeah. Like gold is a wonderful thing, right? He put gold in the earth. He didn't just lay it on top of the ground. It didn't come there like dew. No, you had to go dig for gold. And he said that the gold was good, praise the Lord. And why did God put it? Because it's precious, and he doesn't just want any monkey just grabbing it and doing whatever they want with it. Yeah, I'm not just talking, you know, I'm not referring to that we're monkeys, because we're not. We're not really monkeys, you know that, right? I mean, I don't know if I have to go on an evolution talk now, but we didn't come from monkeys, we came from God, amen? You know, praise the Lord, glory to God, praise the Lord, glory to God. But sometimes I got names for people, you know what I mean? I could have used worse names, amen? Sometimes I might use worse names. But you know, we got people we don't know here very well, and we want to ease you into the lingo. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Matthew 7:7. Praise the Lord. See, God is so good. God is so good. He's provided a way. But you know, we're only going to get there if we decide to get there. And I just wish. You know, I'm going to bring this up again because I love hammering on these stupid songs that sing stupid things like the stupid thing I'm about to tell you. But when you hear people say, talk about the mountains that God won't move, I hate that. And why do I hate it? Because it is so contradictory to what Scripture says, what Jesus himself said. And I know you've heard me say it before. Maybe all of you, maybe many of you, maybe some of you, I don't know. But I'm going to say it again because I want to drill, as much as they're going to drill it into your head, I want to drill the truth into your head, amen? And see, this is, you know, faith comes by hearing and hearing. It doesn't come by heard, amen? So anyways, Jesus said that if you speak to the mountain and don't doubt in your heart, but believe those things that you say, you will have whatever you say. So if you speak to the mountain, you say move, and you believe it, it's going to happen. Now, the mountain is metaphorical. I'm not saying that God would not allow you to be able to move a real mountain. He would, but we preached on this before, and I'm not going to go down that road right now. But we understand that God has never placed mountains that we can't move. He hasn't decided that he's going to put things there that we can't get beyond. He said, no, you can get everywhere you need to go if you stay with it. If you stay with the faith, if you stay believing God at what his word says, if you say, I'm not going, I'm not straying away, I don't care if it doesn't look like it's moving. Jesus said the mountain's going to move, so it's going to move. It doesn't mean sing some silly, stupid song about how the mountain isn't going to move, how you're going to just be in lack the rest of your life, or you're just not going to be able to get over this one. Oh, Lord, this time you gave me a mountain that I may never climb. I remember singing that song and belting that song out with Elvis. Driving down the road and being all depressed and just belting that song out and believing in God and believing he gave me this mountain that I'll never climb. What kind of good father would do that? Foolishness. And it's not the word. You'll never see in the word where Jesus said, or God said, I'm going to put something there that you can't get beyond. In fact, the only thing you see in the word is how God tells his people how to get to the other side. The only thing. Show me, if you don't believe me. Show me one time in the word where God said to his people, you know what? You've been doing really good, and you've been seeking me, and you've been after me, and I love you very much, but guess what? I don't want you to get there. I just don't want you to win today, because today I'm just going to be the God who gives and takes away. So here you go. Have something nice. Whoop! Oh, it's mine. You can't have it. I need this baby as an angel. And people don't even realize that babies never become angels. Humans don't ever become angels. They're two totally separate things. But you know, that's the way that people are. They'll believe wives' tales. They'll believe things that aren't even scriptural over the word of God, and it's nothing new. They did it with Jesus too. Jesus said to the Pharisees, he said, you search the scriptures because in them you think that you have life. But he said, it's these that speak of me. And yet they rejected him anyways. Praise the Lord. It's the truth. And people are still rejecting the true Jesus today. Well, I mean the true Jesus. I mean the actual Jesus that, now I'm not saying that people are, all people who don't believe just what we believe are going to hell. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that a lot of people are going to go without because they won't believe the truth of the word. Matthew 7:7, praise the Lord. In case you didn't believe it or see it, we're gonna see something else here again. Ask, again, this is Jesus talking. Ask, and it will be given to you. That's pretty interesting. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. Now, see, one principle we see here, and I really want to hammer this, but one principle we see here in each part of this, it is about our action towards God. It has nothing to do with his action towards us. It says, you ask, and it'll be given to you. You seek, and you'll find it. Knock, and it will be open. Do you know how many people go to God? Come here, Mark. Stand up here. Mark is a door tonight.
Okay.
How many people come up to the door, and they just look at it? Yeah, it's a nice door. I believe this is where God wants me to go. What's the Bible say? I said, well, you can't see it there because the door is blocking it. Praise the Lord. The door is blocking it. It says knock. Amen. You have to knock. If you knock, the door opens. Open, see? See what happens? If you knock, the door opens. But if you stand there looking at the door all day long, you can sit back down. If you stand there looking at the door all day long, it's not moving. It's not going anywhere. You have to choose to go in. You have to say, you have to, like, with everything with God, he is not, we are not waiting on him. Why have not, the church hasn't learned this yet, I don't know. Why the church hasn't seen that over and over and over and over, Jesus, God, he kept telling us the same thing over and over. He said, if you want the promised land, you got to go take it. He didn't say, he said, I'll work with you. Yeah. Oh, yeah, and it's going to look bad. It's going to look like you can't do it. Why? Because there's giants in the land. Yeah, I knew. Do you think God didn't know there was giants in the land when he sent the Israelites there? He knew that the giants were in the land. He didn't care. He said, what are the giants when you got me in your corner? But see, so many people, they don't realize they got God in their corner and they stand there looking and say, I still can't do it. And he's sitting there saying, just move in faith and I'll take you in there. Yeah. I said, it's yours. I said, I've given it to you. I said, all you got to do is go take it. Yeah. And yet, All of them, almost all of them, stayed out because they wouldn't go in. Ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you'll find. I used this example last night and I really liked it. You know, when we were kids, we'd play sneaks, or AKA hide and seek. And we'd have these properties, maybe a couple acres worth of property and trees and buildings and stuff like this out in the country. My cousins lived out there, and all the neighborhood kids would come over at night, and we would play sneaks, and we would go out there, and one person would count all the way up to 100, give everybody good enough time to go hide real well, right? But you know, when that person who counted, when they got done counting, they didn't come. They always said, ready or not, here I come. You know, you've heard this if you haven't done it. But they, ready or not, here I come. They didn't come out and say, ready or not, here I come. Well, I guess I can't find anybody. I'm done. Sorry, guys, the game's over. I can't find you. No, what did they do? They looked. They went and they snuck, right? They sought. They went and they went behind things. They looked up in the trees. Yeah, you know, sometimes I remember one time me and another person were hiding up in a tree, a big maple tree in the front yard. And the one, it came by, you know, it. Yeah. It came by. You know what I'm talking about. It came by. And I can't remember if it was a boy or a girl at the time. But it was one or the other, praise the Lord. But it came by. And I'm calling it because that's what you called it, right? In the game, you called it. You're it, right? You know what I'm talking about. So anyways, it came by and they looked up in the tree. It was dark and we were hidden up there pretty well. We're hugging that tree, you know, we're going to be, and they didn't see us. So they went on. And we were still safe. Well, see, if they had kept seeking, they would have found. And see, the same thing is with God. Sometimes there's things that God has for us. And he says, you know what? This is very precious. I don't want just any Yahoo getting this and doing whatever they want with it. Yeah, I don't want just any Yahoo taking things and doing stupid things with it. So I'm going to make it real good. I'm going to hide it real good. I'm going to give you opportunity to find it. But if you seek, you will find. Yeah. He didn't make it impossible. He said, if you seek, you will find. Yeah. If you knock, it will be open to you. Yeah. And then I love verse 8. Go ahead and just keep going there. Verse 8 says, because if the first verse wasn't enough for you, Jesus went on to say, for everyone who asks, receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Some people say, well, I asked, but did you seek? You asked, but did you knock? Did you ask, but did you believe? Did you keep going? This is the context that he's saying. He's not just saying, hey, Lord, this is what I want, and then the next day gone. You know, I love Pastor Michael uses this example a lot. You know, at Christmas time, if you got little kids, you know just what it's like. They want everything they see. Oh, for Christmas, I want this, and for Christmas, I want that. But what are the things that you end up usually getting your kids? It's the thing that they kept saying over and over that you were listening to. I want this. I really want this. And you saw that there was a real desire for it. You understand? Because it meant something. It means something then. Yeah. Amen? It's not, I mean, I remember buying my kids a bunch of stuff. One year we just decided to splurge and we bought the kids a whole bunch of stuff. They probably have no idea even today what we bought them that year. They don't. They don't have any idea. Why? Because it was just a bunch of stuff. They didn't know. I remember I had a family member who gave the kids so many presents that it took them like 3 hours open. It was ridiculous. They went into huge debt to just give them this Christmas. And they went in, and the kids, they didn't even get to open all their presents like before they had to go to the other places. So they certainly didn't remember them or appreciate them. You know what I mean? Oh, praise the Lord. Luke 6:46. And we're going to read through 49. Praise the Lord. Matthew, Mark, Luke, it's the third one in. Amen. If you're in Matthew, just go a few more pages and you'll be in Luke 6:46. See, God loves us so much, but he wants us, he desires, he requires us to desire him, to want him, to move towards him, to draw near to him. Yeah. Praise the Lord. We're going to see that here in a minute. Jesus said in Luke 6:46, but why do you call me Lord, Lord? And do not do the things, and not do the things which I say. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Coming to God is doing his word. Coming to God is doing. You can't not do the word and say, I'm coming to God. It bothers me when people think that they can do this. It bothers me all the time as a pastor. One thing that is my job is I'm moving people constantly towards the word, redirecting them towards the word. When someone sits in my office and they want to counsel with me, what do? I direct them to the word because my opinions aren't going to make a difference. My opinions aren't going to change anything, but the word will change everything. Yeah. So how do we know that coming to God is doing his word? Well, James 4:8, just want you to look at it up here. So look at this. It says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Okay? Draw near to God. So that's coming to God. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. So how does this connect with doing God's word? Look at the rest of this verse. We can't leave that out. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. How do you draw near to God? You cleanse your hands and purify your hearts, you double-minded. He says, start doing the things I've told you to do. Stop sinning. Come to me. How do you start coming to God? Before this, in verse 7, it tells us to resist the devil and he will flee. How do you resist the devil? You simply don't do what the devil tells you to do. When the devil plants that thought in your head and you're like, wait a minute, this isn't in the word. In fact, the word tells me not to do this, but the devil planted that thought and you don't take it. You say, no, you resist it. You say, I'm not doing it. Resist means you're going to push it away. You're not going to partake of it. Amen. Hallelujah. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinner. See, it's by cleansing, it's by doing the things that God has told us not to do that pushes God away. That pushes God's ability away. That says, God, I don't want any more of you. Praise the Lord. It's the truth. It's the truth. How long am I at? Praise the Lord. I got a few minutes. Okay. We're going to finish up here. Praise the Lord. Verse 47. Now we're going back to Luke 6:46. Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you who he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. This is the one who does the word of God. Amen? And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. If we're founded on the word, if we're founded on what Jesus taught us, then we're going to be good. We're going to be grounded. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of the house was great. See, some people, both of these people heard. Both of these people, you could say, were in church and listened. But one decided to do it, one didn't. Yeah, praise the Lord. And that's why they didn't have what God intended for them. Praise the Lord. Now we're going to close with this, Matthew 5:6. This is so important, but this is so foundational. But if people just get this, if they just hunger for God, if they say, I'm going after God with everything that's in me, I'm not going to give up, praise the Lord. Look at this, Matthew 5:6 said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. You know, I used this example before, and I want to use it again. Recently, we had a raccoon on our front porch. Praise God. Hallelujah. This thing was cute. I mean, I know raccoons aren't necessarily good, but it was cute, and it was after the bird feeder. It was hungry. And I was standing there in the doorway, 3 feet from this thing, and got video of it. I got pictures of it. I was sitting there talking to this thing, and it didn't care. Didn't care because the food was there. Well, it was hungry. See, when you're hungry for something, you're going to go after it. You ain't going to give up. When you're hungry for something, you're like, you know what? This I don't care how big that guy is standing in the door. It doesn't matter.
That's right.
Because she knew something. She knew something we didn't know. She knew she could get out of there quicker than I could get out there. Which at least she thought that. Or at least she was hungry enough that it didn't matter. And like I said before, she didn't just stay for a few bites. She cleaned that thing out. She cleaned it out. And what'd she do the next night? She came back the next night. She's figuring this fool probably filled it again. So like, he's going to feed me, I'm going to come back. Well, the same thing is with God. If we're hungry for him, if we come after him, if we come into church every time and we say, you know what, I'm hungry and I'm thirsty. I'm after it, God. I don't care. I don't care what the week looked like. I don't care what was happening in my life. I'm going in there and I'm getting everything that God wants to impart in me. I'm going to walk out of there with something good. I'm going to tell you start going to church like that, you're going to start leaving church a lot different than you came in. You're going to start leaving church different than you ever had, because how you receive, how you come in and say, Lord, this is what I want. See, coming to God means you come to him hungry. It's not just coming to God and saying, all right, Lord, I'm here. No, it's saying, Lord, I'm hungry. I'm starving. I require you. I need you. I need it now. I can't leave without it. I'm not leaving without it. I expect, God, that you're good. I expect that you'll fill me, Lord, because that's what you are. You're an overflowing God. You're a cup running over, God. You are not a God who is okay with me being defeated. You are not a God who is okay with me being down. You want me built up. You want me going, and I'm telling you what, I'm going there. Hallelujah. You come into church like that, I'm going to tell you what, church is going to be a whole new experience for you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Why? Because God always blesses his people. He always fills his people. And now I want you to do something with me, because this also came to me when I was seeking the Lord yesterday. And this is a little confession. And we're gonna confess this together. I just want you to repeat after me. Hallelujah. So I'm gonna say it, and then you're gonna repeat it. Amen. Because I'm hungry, I will see the power of God in my life. Because I'm hungry, He will manifest Himself to me. Because I'm hungry, I will walk out all those things He has for me. Praise the Lord. Because I'm hungry, God fills me continually. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now see, I don't know about you, but that stirs me up. Because I'm hungry, God fills me. And God hasn't let me starve yet. If you can't tell, I preach the full gospel up here, praise the Lord. And I'm not done being hungry for God yet, though. I want more of what He has. I want all of what He has. If He paid for it for me, then I'm gonna walk it out while I'm here. If He's given it to me, if Jesus said, you know what, I'm dying so He can have this, and that's what I'm taking. I ain't taking anything less. I'm not going with anything less. Hallelujah. I'm going on with God, and I'm going on to the land of promise, and I'm going on to land of milk and honey. Hallelujah. And I'm going to be filled. And people are going to look at me and say, hey, why does he look so good? And other people are going to say, hey, because he's been walking with God. He's been going with God. And because he goes with God, he gets filled. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.